don't you know?
Places,
don't you know?
Events,
don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL FM is proud to present
Don't You Know?
Now, here with everything Winona, here's Terry Tenseth.
Oh, don't you know?
Today on Don't You Know, we have two special guests coming to visit with us and fill us in on all the great events happening at the Great River Shakespeare Festival Season 9. After that, Doug Westerman and myself will fill you in on all the happenings in and around town and KQAL's lineup of original programming through Friday. You're listening to Don't You Know.
Good afternoon. And today I have some special guests from Great River Shakespeare Festival. And I know all of Winona is really excited that everybody is in town and you've already started rehearsals. But before we get into what's happening with this new season, I want to have you guys go around and introduce yourselves.
Well, hi, I'm Doug Schultz-Carlson. I'm Associate Producing Director and part of the acting company.
And I'm Irene Erkenbrack, Director of Sales and Marketing.
Well, welcome back
to Winona. Thanks. It's great to be back.
You've been in town for almost a month now, though, right?
It's close to it.
So started rehearsals in middle of May.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we tell people what you're rehearsing exactly?
Well, we've got three shows with the professional company this summer. We're doing The Two Gentlemen of Verona, one of Shakespeare's early comedies, King Lear, probably one of the great plays ever written, and then the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged, which is a knockabout farce that takes in every other play that we're not doing in the first two.
Perfect. And the shows start in June. There's an opening weekend.
Yep, that's right. June 22nd is Will's opening weekend.
Yep. The very first preview is June 20th, and then all the way through that, that's a Wednesday, and then all the way through the weekend is Will's opening weekend with lots of other events as well as the shows.
Now, before we talk about Will's opening weekend, because there's a plethora of information to go about that, there's a big event that's happening on June 9th at the Huff Lamberton House.
Yes.
And it's one of my favorite events, and it's called Chocolate, Shakespeare, and Champagne. Do I have it in the right order?
I think so. We can never remember. We know all three are important in some way, especially the chocolate.
Yeah. For some people, maybe the champagne more.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But why don't we tell them about what's going to happen at the event, how they can get involved?
Well, the Chocolate, Shakespeare, and Champagne event is a fundraiser event for the Winona History Center. It will be from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Huff Lamberton House on Saturday, June 9th. And tickets are $25. You can secure those through the History Center if you'd like to come. I know there will be games on the lawn and lots of time for socializing, and as well as a little preview performance from the Great River Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah, this event, it's a real blast. It's something we've done ever since the first season of the Great River Shakespeare Festival. It's everybody's first chance to see the costumes, see a couple of scenes from the shows. All the actors and most of the rest of the company will be there, so you get a chance to talk to people that are in the company. It's a really terrific event.
Excellent. And that, like you said, the hours starts at 7 and then goes till
7 to 9 is what's slated, yep.
Mm-hmm. And you always have fabulous treats there. I remember last year I kind of wanted to go a little nuts, but I refrained.
Yes, when we're performing in it, I am often performing on it, and we always have to set aside chocolate because everybody eats all the chocolate before
Back
we get done.
Chocolate.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
That's mine. Then you have a couple more weeks of rehearsal, and then you have Will's opening weekend, which we were leading into. And you can buy a button for that, and that gets you into all the parties and things.
Yeah, there's three parties happening, and that WOW button is this super great deal. For this $10 WOW button, you can come to a reception after the opening night on Friday. And then there's an afternoon reception on Saturday at the Marine Art Museum. And then on Sunday, there's a picnic after the show. And all three of those events will have the company and cast and actors and food, and it's just going to be a really big blast.
Now, I know on Saturday night, there's a special dinner you can buy tickets for that usually happens at the Minnesota Marine Art Museum.
Yep, that's called the Great River Dinner. It's going to be really great because it'll be kind of an exclusive chance to talk with all the directors of the shows and really get one-on-one conversation time. The Great River Dinner and the WOW buttons, you can buy that stuff online at grsf.org or at our box office. They're pretty easy to get.
And you usually get to see the drawings and the sketches of the stage and the costumes at that event, correct?
Yes. At the Marine Art Museum, there'll be an exhibit kind of Great River articles from the past, as well as obviously the Marine Art Museum and all it has to offer.
Beautiful. Now, there's a couple other events happening. You have the apprentice workshops that are going on, right?
Yeah, the apprentice show is All's Well That Ends Well, and that starts July 24th. It's been extended this year, so it'll actually perform for 2 weeks, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, our apprentice actor training program is, it started to have a national reputation across the country. We get theater artists from training programs all over the place. They come, they spend the summer here, they understudy the shows, and they're the people that you'll meet running the concession stands and helping park the cars and stuff like that. And then they get to do their own show, and it's usually a pretty terrific show.
Excellent. What a fabulous learning opportunity.
Yeah. I know for myself, when I was a young actor, I went to the Utah Shakespeare Festival, and just the chance to be in the room and observing people that have been doing Shakespeare for their entire careers, how they work on it, how they approach it, it really is a terrific way to learn. I think this year, especially with Jim Edmondson, who is kind of a legend in the Shakespeare world, and he's directing our production of King Lear, I think it's just a tremendous opportunity for that younger generation to see a really great theater artist at work.
It's kind of like old school meeting new school in a way.
Well, it is in a certain way. I mean, yeah. That entire production of King Lear is a little bit of that. John Daly, who has been our company member for years, this is the first time that he's played King Lear. He's been in the show before, but, you know, he is, again, you know, really one of the great Shakespearean actors of his generation. And it feels a little bit like sort of passing the torch from one great Lear to the next.
Let's talk about the different directors you have coming to town. I know Melissa Rain Anderson just came in the other day.
Yeah, Melissa Rain Anderson, who directed Fantastics last year, and she directs all over the country, lots of musicals. She also is a terrific actress in her own right. A number of Broadway credits. You can see her on Special Victims Unit. She's on that, and I think a couple of other television shows.
Yeah, I saw her in an episode of Lipstick Jungle once.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. She's terrific, and I think she's the perfect director for Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged. It's going to be a really funny show, and she has a great sense of humor herself. And then Paul Barnes, of course, who's directed one of the shows for every single year. For Two Gentlemen of Verona, we have the creative team from Comedy of Errors really coming back together, or some of the creative team. Jack Forbes-Wilson is working on the music. Now, the two shows are going to feel very different, I think. Comedy of Errors is clearly, truly a knockabout farce. Two Gentlemen of Verona is a love story. It's poignant, it's charming, it has a lot more depth to it than Comedy of Errors. But we've got Jack Forbes-Wilson doing the music and Paul directing it. Should be a lot of fun.
Excellent. We also have symposiums that are going to be taking place and front porch conversations, right?
Yes. We've got a lot of stuff lined up, mostly on the weekends, all the way through the festival. The two symposiums focus on the two Shakespeare pieces. So there's one for Lear on July 14th. That's a Saturday. And the following Saturday for The Two Gentlemen of Verona. And that will be kind of a collaboration between Winona State University faculty and staff, as well as Great River Shakespeare Festival education team and artists. And the whole goal of that is kind of to put the shows in context. So people often think Shakespeare, and there's an automatic barrier there, like they won't understand it, or they're not sure what the story is. And so these symposiums are a chance to really get in depth and discuss many different aspects of the production.
I think one of the things that's exciting about our symposium is that it's really focused on how theater artists take the scholarship and then bring it into the plays. Andrew Carlson, who's been part of our acting company for a long time and actually started with the company in the Apprentice Actor Training Program, now has his PhD and is teaching at the University of Texas, Austin, which is a highly respected theater program. So sort of from the scholarly world, we have a pretty important scholar. And then we bring that together with theater artists and how they take all the research that scholars do, everything that they figure out, and how we bring that into the theater. I think that's a really interesting aspect of these symposiums.
It's like having a Cliff Notes guide for... in a way.
Yeah, it is in a way. You know, last year, one of the things they did at the symposium is have actors in there. You know, they talked about a particular scene, and they talked about how scholars saw the scene and what we can find in the verse and what we can find in the meaning of the language and what we can find in the history and all of that. And then the actors would do the scene, and then we would talk about the scene a little bit more with some new information from other scholars or other scholars' opinions of what the scene would be like. And then the actors did it again with that new information to see how that would change the performance, which is really interesting. And I think something that is somewhat unique to these symposia.
Beautiful. What's the front porch conversations?
Those are happening on Saturdays this year, and there's a bunch of different events. So kind of the first weekend, we'll have the Frozen River Film Festival is showing a documentary called Becoming Santa, which I believe is related to the festival because...
Jack Sanderson, who is the documentary maker, the story Becoming Santa is about his journey to be a live Santa. What do they call it? It's a live Santa. He's got a white beard, so he actually looks like Santa Claus.
He creates the character.
Right. Yeah. So he was a member of the acting company for a couple of seasons, and now he's in LA writing films and creating documentaries. And this documentary won the Audience Choice Award at the South by Southwest Film Festival, which is a very prestigious film festival. So we're really excited to have Jack in town and to have this documentary.
That's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's great, too, because the proceeds, the donations collected at that event will go to a charity that supports child protection.
Great.
Yeah. So right. It's going to be really awesome. And then I guess the other big headliner event in the front porch is Peter Saccio, Dr. Peter Saccio, who is a professor and scholar from Dartmouth College, will be coming to speak. He's really popular. He's been here before. And he'll kind of be talking specifically about King Lear.
There are a series of lectures that he does for the teaching company that you can buy as a podcast. And they're terrific series of lectures on Shakespeare that a lot of us listen to. I know
listened.
He had three lectures on King Lear, and I listened to all three of them before I came down here. This summer.
Well, King Lear is kind of heavy material to get through.
Well, you know, it's really interesting material to get through. There's so many different aspects to it. I mean, it is one of those plays that is, you know, sometimes we say about Shakespeare that everything in the human experience can be found in one play. And King Lear is really one of those that is that. So you can sort of keep on talking about it and keep on looking at it from different aspects. And Peter Saccio does a great job of, in these three sort of half-hour lectures, he does a terrific job of crystallizing some of the key concepts and putting them out there in a really interesting way.
Excellent. That should be exciting.
Yeah, it should be terrific. Yeah. He's always a huge favorite when he comes. We're really honored that a scholar of his caliber comes to the festival every year and really likes the work that we're doing. I think, again, because we're so in-depth with the text work and we're so interested in, rather than doing productions that have a real sort of directorial concept to them, we're really interested in exploring the language, and that's what he values about the productions.
So he's more about the process than the product.
Well, you know, I don't know if I'd describe it entirely that way, but he's very interested in what the language actually means and what's actually going on in the play. And I think sometimes it's easy in Shakespeare to think you know what's going on, to think, oh, I've got this and I've got it sort of in a box and I understand it. And Shakespeare, because he's so good at exploring the human spirit, at really finding out what makes us tick as human beings, that it's always going to be more complicated than you think. Even in a play like King Lear, even the smallest character is going to have a major story to be told. I'm thinking in King Lear, there's a one-line character, a soldier, who at the very end is told to go off and kill King Lear and his daughter Cordelia. And Edmund asks if this soldier will do it. And he says, well, basically he says, well, I can't really do anything else. I can't pull a cart. If it be man's work, I'll do it. And there's a whole sort of history of this guy that's been involved in this war and now has to do something that he doesn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how he can feed his family. And that exists in one line. And that's, King Lear is full of that kind of thing.
Well, I think right now, with the way the economy's been, a lot of people can kind of relate to that.
Well, you know, it's really true. And, you know, again, King Lear is one of those plays that you look at in different generations, mm-hmm. and we're going to see it differently. You look at it at different points in your life, and you're going to see it differently. Every time you come back to it, you're going to discover it again.
That's that whole universal appeal.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. But it is also in certain ways a door that opens, that you open this door and you step through into a much larger world, that you understand the human spirit in a different way for having immersed yourself in it and truly for having sort of measured yourself on this yardstick of history. I mean, the play has been around for 400 years. So 400 years ago, people had these thoughts about what it is to be a person. A play like King Lear, I mean, in certain ways, it really came into its own in the 20th century with the horrors of the Holocaust. And, you know, sort of all of these awful things happening that people began to relate to it in a different way. And I think the sort of the things that King Lear himself is going through as he begins to lose his mind as he gets older are issues that as a society we're beginning to confront in a very different way as the baby boomers retire. So, again, that's not what the play meant 100 years ago. It's not what the play meant 200 years ago, but we keep on discovering it as a new generation.
That's what's great about Shakespeare.
Yeah, it really is.
Totally. So we also, talking about events going on, you have the Concerts on the Green happening too.
Yes, the Concerts on the Green will be every Friday and Saturday before the shows. Those are free concerts. Jefferson's Pub will be catering, and we have a different musical group for every single one. So it's going to be great. The weather's going to be awesome. It's going to be the height of summer.
Yes, the weather's going to be awesome.
It's going to be. I mean, it's going to be hot and sunny
today,
at least for most of them, right?
Happen. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint you this month. You come in and you're like, where's the heat?
No. We're happy not to be sweltering in the heat.
I'm just coming out of Minnesota winter, you know, so it's going to be awesome because it's not going to be snow on the ground and cold.
Yeah, we kind of lucked out this year with the winter department.
That's true.
Yep. And, you know, I can tell you both experienced that because you're living in Minnesota.
Yes, so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite events, at the same time, it saddens me because it means the season's almost over, is Calathump.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I know that you're going to do it big this year, right?
It's going to be huge. You know, this was a brand new event last year. And mm-hmm. even as a company, we had no idea how it was going to go over.
Like, oh, it was
how
great.
People in Winona were going to take it and what they were going to make of it. And yeah, it turned out to be just a blast.
I wish you could do three of them. Yes. 3 months.
Well, that's what we thought last year after we did it. You know, as we were about halfway through the show, we're like, well, we should just close the other shows and run Calathump for the rest of the week. I'm sure our audiences probably wouldn't appreciate that. But we did have a lot of fun. Yeah, it should be a great event this year. So, yeah, get your tickets early for that one.
If you haven't seen it before, it's basically a variety show with the performers or anybody in the company performing their own shtick, so to speak, right?
Yeah. We call it Calathump. We're always interested in language. So it's Calathump is an old word for a boisterous parade. So,
and there's prizes. I remember that. There's
yes,
prizes.
There's going to be a raffle. There's going to be prizes. There's going to be food. There's going to be a lot of things that happened last year and then some new things as well.
Oh, and you're not going to tell me, are you?
No, maybe not today.
No, maybe
we'll parcel
later.
That information out. But you know you'll get to see the GRSF company doing things that you don't usually get to see them do. There'll be lots of singing. There'll be some comedy acts. There'll be all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's perfect. So you've been doing this campaign called Setting the Stage to help ensure the future of Great River Shakespeare Festival. Do you want to give us a little bit of info on that and where you're at right now?
The Setting the Stage campaign, it really is a way of trying to ensure the future of the festival. Every theater company is always going to run into the problem that we spend all of our money at the beginning of the season when we're rehearsing the plays, when we're building the sets, when we're paying designers and actors, and before we start selling tickets. And every year at the festival, we have found ourselves in the position of really trying to catch up to that, that we spend all of that money and then the money comes in later in the season. Setting the Stage campaign really puts us on a firm footing where we know where the money is going to come from to mount each season, and it gives us the confidence to be able to plan ahead so that we can plan for future seasons. We set a goal in that campaign of $1.6 million in gifts and 3-year pledges, and that's about a year and a half ago we started into that. We are now within $49,000 of finishing that goal.
Wow.
So we're really excited about it. We're incredibly grateful to the generosity of people in Winona, the people in the region, and really the people all over the country who have pledged to the program and have really ensured that the festival is going to be here for a long time.
And kind of spinning off of that Setting the Stage idea, and Doug was kind of talking about cash flow for theater companies, one new thing we've instituted this year is a season pass, and it kind of does the same thing only from a sales and marketing perspective. So we're offering patrons a great deal, see all three shows for less than the price that it would cost you to see two. And then we get there, you know, we offer different price points in March and now through when we open and then even into the season. So we can kind of get that money for all three shows and use that at this time when we're building costumes and sets and everything. And so it's good for our cash flow, and it's great for patrons because it's a better deal. It is the best deal to see the plays. So a lot of people that live locally in Winona and even within driving distance do see all three shows. And so it's a kind of thank you to them. If you're going to see all three shows, you can get the very best deal.
And you do have actual show discounts for people that haven't been to the festival before. Right.
Well, we have lots of new initiatives this year. We're doing free previews. So there's one preview performance for every single show. That's 4 previews total. It's completely free to anyone in the general public. Anybody who wants to attend can call and get totally free tickets. So if you've never been to the festival before, that's a great way to try it out without having to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great thing. And then, yeah, we do have many other discounts. I won't go through all of them now, but the box office can if you call. Yeah,
that's their job.
Yeah.
We should say, too, we really believe at Great River Shakespeare Festival that these plays belong to everyone, that anybody, any fourth grader should be able to walk into the theater and understand the plays and be able to get something from them and really benefit from having seen the plays. And for that reason, we try and keep our ticket prices low. I mean, the top ticket price we charge is only $40. And as Irene mentioned, there's any number of ways to get into the plays for much cheaper than that. And that's part of the reason why we need things like the Setting the Stage campaign. We need donors to be able to ensure that the theater belongs to everyone.
I mean, we're a nonprofit theater company, and nonprofit theater companies operate with earned income and contributed income. Both sides of the puzzle are needed to be financially solvent. It's just a matter of how much. Is it 40, 60? Is it 30, 70? And we want to keep our ticket prices low as possible, just like Doug said, so that every single person, if they want to, can engage with the festival. But that's one of the reasons why then we have to have a strong development side of the company, too.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Totally. So there's Facebook, right? You guys are putting out videos every week, right?
Yes. Our latest video, The Real Housewives of Shakespeare, it seems to be on its way to going viral. We're over 7,000 this morning.
Increase those numbers.
Yeah, it's really fun. Our video team, we actually have a student from Winona State University.
Mm-hmm. From our department.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep, here. From this very mm-hmm. department. Meredith Olson has been with us. This is her third year now, working together with one of the actors from our company, Chris Gerson, mm-hmm. Who used to do the video podcast from the Sundance Film Festival. So he has quite a bit of experience in this area. And then our education director, Kate Fonville, who was also used to be part of the acting company, wrote the script for the latest video, and I think some of the others coming up. So it's a real team effort. I think they're going to be a lot of fun all season long.
You're going to want to log on to Facebook and check that out underneath it. Even if you just type in GRSF, it'll pop up. Mm-hmm. So for Great River Shakespeare Festival. Did we miss anything, or are we good on all the events?
I think we hit the major ones. Yeah, I mean, there's company conversations on Thursdays after the show. There's tons of different ways. I think we've really tried to focus on putting lots of events for people on the weekends, because that's when the majority of people are right in town. And one small change this year is the majority of those events, I think all of them, will happen on the campus of Winona State University, so that people can just come and see everything really within close proximity.
It's easier when everything's in one space.
Yeah.
I will say that. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, pleasure.
A big thank you goes out to Doug Scholes Carlson and Irene Erkenbrock for stopping by to tell us about all the great events happening at this year's Great River Shakespeare Festival Season 9. More information on Great River Shakespeare Festival can be found at grsf.org. You've been listening to Don't You Know?
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know? Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.